Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
Brooks.
What's up?
What's happening, boss?
How you doing? You break it up, my brother. You break it up. How you doing?
Good, man. This is killing me, man.
Oh, yeah. So, got a big show tonight. Big show tonight. First of all, I'd like to say, Sad day in my life. My cousin died.
Sorry to hear that, brother. So sorry.
Yeah, he played baseball at Cadoza. He was the only so-called brother I had because I'm the only child, so he was my brother. Yeah, I went to Cadoza because of him. I tried to play baseball because of him. I try to do everything because of him. I always follow behind him. And it's really a sad day, me being an only child, and that's the only brother I had. And we grew up together, man. And
yeah.
He passed away, and it's been really rough on me all week.
I know that, man. I'm so sorry about that, Brooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So,
what happened to him?
He's been having seizures for a long period of time. And think he had a heart attack. We had nobody heard from him for about a week. So in the lobby at his apartment hadn't seen him. So they called his sisters. They went up there, and they found out he was dead. And they found him dead. And his body was decomposed. Must have been dead for about 6 days. And they did fingerprints and all that, but they came to find out that he had a heart attack.
So,
I hope he didn't suffer, you know.
Me too, man. Sorry about that, man.
It was a shock. It was a shock to me that he died like that. You know, it was something else. And then my oldest daughter, she under the weather. She had a few problems. Let's do a procedure, but she seemed to be doing pretty good. And then I went to a funeral with my man Moose Chandler, coached up Coolidge, Boys Club, coached up Carroll, one of the best coaches I've ever been around, probably one of the smartest people I've ever been around as far as football. He passed on. I mean, he was older than I am, about 77 years old, but he was always in good shape. I think he had the diabetes, and that took him away. It's been a rough week, you know. So, you know,
Yeah, man, I definitely had you in my prayers when you told me about what was going on, man. I'm just, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I know it's a hard time when you and I want to sprinkle my stuff in there, but, man, since I've been about 18, you know, it's been my dad, my uncle, my brother, my little cousin, like, and it's not like they older and have a lot of stuff going on like your brother. But
yeah.
They're young, like my cousin was 22, passed away, had an asthma attack. Man, my uncle, my father, my brother was 30. He had a heart attack, massive heart attack at work.
Yeah. That heart attack has no age, I tell you that.
I know, man, and I feel your pain, though. I know how it is to lose a brother, man.
Yeah, but look, we're having a little difficulty because you break it up a little bit, and we're gonna try to straighten that out. But we got a big show tonight, another big blockbuster. We got Tyrone Parker, Rico Rush, the Alliance of Concerned Men, May just like Elwood. We had Elwood Sawyer on there, Yango. We had Al-Malik Farrakhan. These two guys have been instrumental in resolving youth violence in D.C. for the last 20 years, the Lions Concerned Men and their organization, and two men that I've become to respect and become good friends of mine, right? Even though both of them guys went to Eastern, I'm not going to hold that against them. They went to Eastern High School, so I'm not going to hold it against them. But two of my boys, they resolved. The Simple City had a thing going on some years back, and they resolved that issue in Simple City because Simple City had two sides going at them, the one on Alabama Avenue and the one near the projects, and they were instrumental in bringing peace about that at a church, at a mediation. And, you know, when I had the Youth Gang Task Force, Lions of Concern, man, C-Spot on Smoke the Brothers and the Sisters, Louis Cardona, who's going to be on later tonight, dealt with all the Hispanic crews. And so there's only a few people that I really respect that have really been out in the community. You know, you have a lot of people that do a lot of talking about we need to do this, we need to do that, but they're not gonna really go out in the community. They're just gonna talk about it.
Solution. Right.
These two guys are really good, and Louis Cardona, he dealt with all the different crews. You know, I dealt with the Hispanic crews myself. He dealt with Brown Union, Bato Locos, Rasa. He knows about MS-13. I mean, he's a big time guy in the city. You know, from New York. He was out there one time, Marine, you know, been shot in the streets. I mean, he dealt with some of the black crews, but this guy is well respected, right? He has really stabilized the Hispanic gangs in D.C. I mean, they still exist, but I mean, he stopped a lot of beefs in this town. He's big, well respected by politicians and everybody else in this city. So he'll be coming on at 8:40. So, and then guess what?
That's what's up.
Big Mike last night won the boxing match. We had him on last week.
Oh, and wow. What's he doing so far?
His journey, yeah, he took a guy out in the first round.
Woo!
The first round.
Put him down in the first round?
Yeah. Knocked him out in the first round. Man didn't even get warmed up. I talked to JD, and he took care of him in the first round. So he's 6-0 now.
Good God Almighty, putting it down, putting it in that work, huh?
Yeah, and the word I get is that the boy's got good hand speed. He's got power and hand speed.
Man,
that's the word I get.
Letting that aggression go, huh?
Yeah, and he's 6'1", 235. I mean, he's got some size on him, too.
That's
he's
amazing.
Got real good hands, but you know if JD is managing him, he must be something. Because JD and Sugar Ray Leonard, you know they don't deal with anybody. So they got to have some skills. So told JD to get a chance to call in, you know, and tell us about it, about the match last night at the Armory, and he was telling me about a boy that was 29-0 from D.C.
Oh, yeah.
To a draw. It was a draw last night, but a lot of people think that he should have lost because the guy that lost should have won because of they said a home cooking. You know, that's the word I got. But he's still undefeated. He's 29-0. So that boxer is coming back.
Yeah, I
want to
know that guy's name.
We're gonna find that out.
We're gonna take a quick little short little something so that I can pay some of these bills and come right back.
Okay. Right.
How you doing? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, break it up a little bit, but I can hear you better.
I switched microphones. Well, I don't know if that's going to help me or not. I might just go ahead and I think I know what I'm gonna do. Hold on 1 second. But
still breaking up. But I want to welcome everybody to the show. Just sad time. But I want to welcome everybody to the show. I'm glad my listeners are hanging on because we got a great show tonight. We got Tyrone and Rico coming up next. So how have you been doing, Box?
I've been hanging in there, you know, trying to do what I can. Do what I can while I can.
Yeah, you're right. How's your family doing? How's your daughter doing?
She's doing all right.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
She hanging in there.
Yeah, you're clear now. You're clear.
Yeah.
Bach is clear, everybody. Bach is clear and on the air, hitting and sticking like Popeye chicken. If the chicken don't kill you, the grease will.
Ain't that the
truth? Guess what I did? I ate some Popeye chicken the other day. I was so hungry, I went to Popeye's.
Oh, man. Yeah, that Popeye's, man. It's crunchy on the outside.
Yeah, you're right. They're killing you on the inside.
Hey, tearing you up.
Yeah.
So what's going on, man? We got a great squad you got going on tonight, man. This squad you got right here, man. Influencers, mentors.
Hey, we got three good men on tonight.
I mean,
they straight up top soldiers. You tell them if you go on the street and you got a beef, and we got to go up to some dark places. Hey, them three guys, I'm taking them with me. I know those three guys, Al Malik, Yango, you know, Sydney, a few of us, the rest of them, you know what they can do? They can just stay back with the women and children.
Oh, man.
These top soldiers right here.
Yeah, this is the front line right here.
And then the only thing I keep saying is they went to Eastern. That's the only problem.
I went to Eastern, man. Come on now.
Oh, hey, Bob, I'm sorry. I didn't know you was in that bunch.
Hey, good. Hey, that's where the street team come in at. That's where they doing it at.
Oh, they are? Okay, well,
yeah.
I apologize to everybody out there that went to Eastern. I apologize. You know, you can't help it if you went to Eastern, but I apologize.
Oh, man. It's where the school zoned you at. It's all about zoning.
Hey, guess what my friend said? I asked him about a woman. I said, was she an ugly woman? She was very respectful. Guess what she said? She almost there.
Oh, man.
She said she was almost there. She didn't say she was ugly. She didn't say she looked good. I said, was she ugly? She said, she almost there. Man, I tell you.
Oh, man, you crazy.
Always is a funny stuff, boy. I'm telling you. Hey, I'm always
right.
Hearing something funny, man.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
We're going to have Rico and Tyrone on, man.
Yeah, hello?
Hello? Who
please
is this?
Please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may have...
It's Rico.
Yeah, I'm on.
Rico is the man. Let me tell you something. I told the audience, I said, Rico and Tyrone, I got a lot of respect for y'all. Y'all straight up soldiers. Y'all in the street. Y'all took care of that Temple City mess and a lot of other things. Alliance of Concerned Men. You know, I really respect y'all. I mean, you know, it's only a few guys that I know that I would go in dark places with. You, Tyrone, Al Malik, Yango, Sydney, you know, Louis Cardona going to be on tonight. It's only a few. And the rest of the guys can stay with the women and children. Delisha is right. Straight up going in the streets. And glad to have you on, Rico. Glad to have you on, man. Good man. Good man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Let me tell you. Now, Tyrone might be on, but they do tag teams. You see them at a meeting. You might see one coming in and the other going.
Your name and your number. I will.
So they make sure they cover everything. But Rico, glad to have you on, man. And I just told Tyrone a few minutes ago he gonna be on the show, and I think something is going on upstairs. I don't know what it is, but he gonna be all right though. But tell us about your organization. Just tell us about the work you're doing and how you got started and everything. Just tell us about it.
You know, Brooks, some good things come out of a bad situation. With the Lions, it was Tyrone's son who was murdered.
I'm unable to speak to you at this time. However, if you leave.
That's his,
He's still on the speakers. He's still on the answering service. But you can go ahead. Keep right on talking.
So what happened was his son got killed. I think it was by the Crystal skating rink. And Tyrone was incarcerated at the time. Some guys would come to him and say they were handling it for him. And Tyrone said, no, I don't want you to do that. You know, his thinking was we need to do something about the violence in the city.
Yeah.
And he had contact with some guys while he was in prison. And some guys in prison and some guys who was out at the time. I came aboard because I was doing something. I had a group called Meet the Challenge where I was doing groups with the Man Burris Youth Leadership Institute.
Yeah, I remember.
The Archdiocese and Watch. I was doing youth stuff. Excuse me. And when Eric Johnson, another founder of the Lions, came to me and told me what they were doing, I said, well, you know, I'm on that same wavelength. And so I hooked up with them. And we were doing things with kids in group homes. It was Brenda Jones who the Parklands Community Center that helped us, find the youth, and we started doing groups. It was Raheem Jenkins, Peter Jackson, who used to be a deputy warden at Youth Center, and then it was Eric Johnson, and then Mac also Brooks.
Yeah, he's my truck. I remember he used to be
Mm-hmm. And what really brought us to fame, I guess you could say, was when that young boy Darryl Hall, when they kidnapped him from Fletcher Johnson.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and they found him a few weeks later, tied to a tree, and they executed him. He was only 12 years old.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. That was all over the papers. I remember that.
Yeah, to get there, the community at Hobson's, man, it was terrible. And
part of that Simple City situation, right?
Right, that's what it was, the avenue and the circle. Yeah. And I knew a few people that lived in the community. Tyrone called me up, and I knew some of the community people that lived there. And he and I went over to the neighborhood, and a lady, Miss Munderay, over there, Ellen Munderay. And we went to see her, Brooks. And, you know, it's a funny thing, man. We were telling her we were looking for her and didn't know her address. And the little kids told us, Miss Munderay lived right there. Showed us exactly where she lived.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
And when we knocked on the door, man, she said, praise God. And she didn't even know we came over there to see about the situation. She just saw us and threw her hands up. Yeah, just said, praise God, you know. And then she led us to some of the guys, you know, because she had a relationship with the young boys and the gang members. And she introduced us to us, and of course, some of the guys knew Tyrone, their fathers was locked up with him. Some of the guys knew me, and we brought them to the table. We brought one side to the table, and when we did, so we brought some guys from the avenue and to the table. And Tyrone Parker was the probation officer for one of the youth. You imagine,
yeah.
He's actually from himself.
Yeah.
He's a parole. And look, and so when they...
best person to have it. Somebody that's been in it, you know?
They've been in it, right. The solution is in the problem, you know. The only people
that
can work with them youth in that community. You know what? Let me say this. They were interviewing Kathy Lanier on TV, and she said that we solved 75% of the problem. I mean, of the crime, of the murder.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
That's solving them, but that ain't, you know, that's not preventing them.
That's right. Because, absolutely, man.
You know, the police can't prevent no. Man, they just killed somebody the other day, and the police was right down the street.
Yeah.
You know.
Somebody wants to kill somebody, you know, they kill me. Where were the police? Man, if people want to kill somebody, it don't make no difference. Police can be 10 feet away. They're going to kill them. You know?
Right, right. So you got to have guys, man, that got some hooks in the neighborhood like yourself. And who we can go up in the neighborhoods, man, and you know, without no pistols, no bulletproof vests.
That's
right. And communicate with them kids, man. And that's what they don't have now. See, they don't have that. You know, they don't have a... Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Let me say this, Rico. You know what? Me and Bob talk all the time, and we had Almalik Paracon, Yangon, and one thing we're going to always agree on, one thing about them young people, when they see you, they can sense weakness. They know if you're a strong man, just by looking at you, ain't got to open your mouth. They know if you weak, just, I don't know what it is. It's a thing where it's just instinct, right?
Yeah.
And they can look at you, and if you don't have it, you don't have it. And it's not going to work.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. And you know that comes from being in the street.
That's right.
You get that, you know, people talking about that instinct, like you said, the instinct, what you call streetwise.
That's
you
right.
Know, you kind of accumulate that from being drawn up in the hood.
That's right.
Who's fake, huh?
You're right. This didn't come from sitting on the porch. This one been in the street. And I was an athlete, but I was in the street. I was deep in the street. You know, I did my thing. But you know, one thing about it is being in the streets, it's a training, really.
It's
training for you so you can deal with that type of situation. And another thing, if you are afraid of young people, they know it.
They know it. They can pick that up. They can pick that. You know, I was looking at that show about Kevin Durant. You know, about his mother and the thing about it is, and about that coach. You know, they killed his coach, man.
I know about that.
Yeah, I know you know about it. I know you talked about it on the show. And the thing about it is, like you said, is that how do you deal with these kids? I mean, how do you de-escalate a situation that's escalating?
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
How do you do that? And sometimes when people talk, well, you need training. A lot of us got that training from being on the street.
That's right.
You know,
that's where it comes from. Because you show that you're not gonna get that in the books.
No.
That's one thing you're not gonna get in the books.
No. You ain't gonna get that in the books.
I've trained a lot of people to do mediations, right? I've trained
right.
them, but and they got it down. But the thing about it is, once you walk into that situation, that training is one thing. But guess what? The fear, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, they know what's going on.
See, Brooks, like you said, but see, the training is good, but you got to have the people that's been there that know, that, you know, to do the training. You see what I'm saying? And like I tell people, like you know, they keep bringing models. They talk about they're going to bring this model to D.C. Man, look, I'm a Vietnam veteran, man. I was in the war. You understand? Even in the villages, you had to understand the culture of the neighborhood you're dealing with.
That's right.
There's a difference between Northwest and Northeast and Southeast. Come on. It ain't all the same. Even though we're in D.C. You know, because we had a guy work with us who was from California, and he was in the Crips. And, man, them guys in Summer City had no respect for him, man. He didn't
know
how to deal with the D.C. boys. You know?
Thank you. Because, you're right, D.C. is a different ballgame. You know what? I've told people a lot of people ask me what I was with the UK. They said, Brooks, why don't you go to this city and go to that city? I said, let me tell you something. These cities are different, right? Different language, the way they talk, the way they dress. In D.C., it's not organized, it's loose-knit. It ain't no captains and lieutenants and all that.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah.
You can't bring something from another city, bring it to D.C., say, that'll make it work.
Right. You
it's not
going to
work.
Can't
D.C.
that,
is so
man.
Different from any other city.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Even Northwest, you know, I'm Northwest, but I dealt with the guy in South. I know exactly what the matter of fact, I can look at youngers and tell them where they're from without opening them up.
Right. You know, they sent us up, you know, when they did the, when they had that killing over there at Virginia Tech. One of the mothers, man, had put some money up to the school, Chantilly, Virginia, where her daughter went. And they had a problem over there, and they contacted us. And so we went over there, and it was the MS-13.
Yep.
And the Latin Kings.
Yeah,
and
Luke Cardona. He's going to talk about that tonight.
Yeah, Luke Cardona, right. I know he's going to talk. And people don't understand that it's different. Like you said, there's no hierarchy. You know, there's no like a leader and things like that. So you have to understand the culture, man. So you have to understand Latinos. You know, that model wouldn't work in Virginia that we had in D.C. We had to understand how the culture worked. And then you can implement,
right.
You know. But and I know you, man. Like you wrote the book. See, people don't understand. See, that's another thing. It's about the history, about the Mamas, Detroit Park. You know, we did have organized gangs, but that was at that time. But how was that resolved? It wasn't the police that broke them up. You know, it wasn't the police. Man, it was the roving leaders. Remember the roving
leaders.
Come on, man. It was
the guys
in the hood.
That's right.
The guys
back
in the hood.
Color.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. I remember when I was at Decatur Street. We 500 deep. I mean, it was a mob. We went up on the hill, the coolest, to a block party. And you know, we beefing with the guys up on the hill. And all of them had a handkerchief tied around their neck. So they could tell the difference in case something break out. But I tell people all the time, we didn't shoot and stuff like they're doing that. But I did tell people this, and don't make no mistake. If somebody had pulled up back then with a bunch of AK-47s and shotguns and stuff like that, and we had the availability, we'd have picked them up.
Right.
It just wasn't available like it is now. Plus, we did have some kind of respect for each other. Best friends wouldn't kill each other. Best friends wouldn't mess with each other's girl. We didn't do that.
No.
Right? See, the youngers now don't have a code. They don't have any kind of code among themselves or any kind of respect. It's just like helter-skelter. Everybody just do what they want to do. You get high and you do crazy stuff, you know?
But
just like
you
that guy.
No, I'm just saying, you know, something else, because I know you got sports. You must have sports. Man, back everybody in D.C., man, had some kind of a skill. Baseball,
that's right.
Football.
Like you play baseball,
and
everybody did something.
Right, and that those sports, man, that team, being able to be a team is very important, man. You know, how to be a team player.
Team concept, and see, we wasn't home playing on the video games and playing on the cell phone. We was out in the street. Even the girls played hopscotch. Even I played hopscotch. What you think red light? We were doing everything out there, holding our skills, these guys now. Hey, look, as soon as a young girl or young boy gets in the car, the first thing they do is get on that phone. Athletes now, they get a lot of training for PlayStation. We were out there doing it.
Right.
And everybody in D.C. played baseball when we were growing up. We played baseball.
I
lost
all. Man, I told you, man, my goal was to be a major league baseball player.
Yeah.
Emilio Pascual was my role model, played for
the Senators.
I modeled myself after him.
Emilio
Pascual, curveball. You know what I mean? That was a skill that, learning techniques and skills is what you learn playing sports, too.
That's right. You learn team concept and all that. And sports was big back when you were growing up, you know?
Right.
Team concept.
Right.
Just like my cousin that just died, Kenny Newsom, you know it. Hell of a baseball player. I went to the dope because of him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? You know what he did? He had a home run straight away to center field and landed on top of Wilson's grill. And tell me that ain't a shot.
What? Yeah, man.
Nothing but the truth. It's a lot of athletes come out of here, man. It's a lot of athletes come out of here. Yeah. And see, let me tell you something. I was an athlete, but I also was in the streets, too. I was blessed because I didn't get locked up. I went to college, but I did enough stuff that I should have been locked up. But by the grace of God, I never got locked up. And I've heard some people say, you can't work with the youngers in the street unless you've been in jail. That ain't necessarily true.
That ain't
true.
You've
been in the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the work y'all do is amazing, man, because y'all had different people come in, like my man Sidney. I got a lot of respect for him, right? Y'all have a lot of people, you know, even Cornell come in and help out. I mean, one thing about this, we talking about major people. We ain't talking about no nickel and dime guys.
No.
We talking about major people in this town that made a difference.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's right.
And I respect you and Tyrone so much because I look at it, man. I mean, y'all done a lot for this city, man. And you know what? People that really out there in the streets, we don't never get the credit that we deserve. You sit in a meeting with a bunch of people, and they want to set some rules and regulations, and sometimes they don't ask the people on the front line.
I know. That's happening now.
And you know what? Yeah. You know, you've been to Vietnam. You know, it's just like this. Now, tell me if I'm right. How can I sit down and tell you about Vietnam and I ain't ever been there?
Yeah, how about that? But let me share this with you. You know, the people, man, if you were smart, the people that you would be with and watch real close was them damn sergeants who had been in wars before you.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that lieutenant that came out of college. You know what I mean? You know, he was a leader. But you look at that sergeant, you understand, that had that experience, man.
That's
you understand? And watch him and listen to him is what saved a lot of people. It definitely saved me.
Yeah, the word I got was the lieutenant listening to the sergeant. A good lieutenant go listen to his sergeants when he's brand new.
That's right. That's right. If he's smart. If he's smart, bro. That's right.
So what kind of projects y'all doing right now? I mean, what are you doing? Because, I mean, you know, really, I remember the thing down on 7-0 was 7-0, 9-0. You did something with that.
Yeah.
But
you've
got a lot of
different
things, man. So,
yeah.
So what are y'all doing now?
Believe it or not, man, because we all committed to the city, man, and safety, and public safety, even to this day. You know, we are there's one project we're working with in collaboration with American University, and that's my alma mater, too. They had got some youth from up 7-0 and working with the students up there in grad school in the international studies of American University.
Oh, that's great, man. Great.
Yeah. And, you know, because we need to connect with other institutions, you see, to work in concert with each other.
You better, because that's what it's about.
Because the government is on another agenda, man. They right now they want Washington D.C. to be the tourist capital of the world.
Absolutely.
You know they're on their way to outdo New York. They counting how many tourists come here.
That's right. That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Right.
But you know what? That's a good thing you're doing, American University, because it ain't about getting a guy a job at McDonald's. It's about
right.
giving some knowledge so he can get some skills and be productive. Because guess what? I tell him all the time, even the guys come, can you give me a job? Let me tell you something. You got to have some kind of skills because they don't mind sending you to jail. Matter of
right.
fact, they'd rather see you there. So you got to be productive. What do you have to offer? You have some computer skills. I see guys, I'm going to get you a job cutting grass and all that. I'm going to get you a job at McDonald's. But you can't build a family like that.
No.
Because you're going to wind up hustling again.
Right. See, go ahead.
Yeah.
See, the other thing that we did years ago that we put that we implemented was entrepreneurship. Because we know everybody's
right.
not going to go to college. But there's a lot of guys, especially guys that was out there selling narcotics or doing some crime. They were independent, entrepreneurs.
That's what they were. That's what they were. Louis Farrakhan, I mean, he talks about it all the time, building your own thing, your farms and having you be
right.
self-sufficient,
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do.
Right, because see, the since it's going to be a tourist town, let's work on helping people be vendors.
That's right.
There's a lot of money in that. I mean,
vendors make money.
Yeah, I remember when the Million Man Mall, man, we had the youths work with us. We go down in the mall, man, we selling water, man. Then we had badges, and to show guys, man, how you can make money without hustling drugs.
Yeah. And them guys, they can get the job. They're smart. Selling water and doing stuff like that. You know what? You're selling drugs. That's illegal. But you're selling water. You're doing this. You're selling potatoes. Let me tell you something. It's the same thing. And them boys can count. You see a lot of guys come on. They don't know math. You get them in a crap game. Bar this, bet this. They know when the money. Anybody getting cheated?
They got a lot of common sense.
And some of those people, the vendors in the summertime, make enough money to last them in the winter.
Yeah. Right. In fact, that's part of the entrepreneurship is how to that's how they calculate the retail business. That's why it's so important that they start marketing Christmas in October.
Yeah.
They count out how many customers, how many jeans and how many tennis shoes they're going to sell through that quarter and last them until the next time they do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you teach people how to market a product that, I know when I go to the dentist, man, and, if you don't show up, they'll call you. Because he got to do a certain amount of teeth cleaning and teeth pulling a quarter so he can survive.
Stay afloat. And a lot of them paying back student loans. I had one dentist, one of the first dentists I had, he said, man, I'm still paying back student loans. He said, I'm not making the money I should. I said, why? He said, because a lot of black people going to white dentists and a lot of white people going to white dentists.
Wow. I
didn't realize that. He said, man, I'm paying back student loan. I'm barely above ground. Because a lot of those people, doctors, they got to pay back student loans and stuff. So, you're right. They got to do a certain amount this quarter, cleaning teeth and stuff. You're absolutely right. And see, that's what young people need to know.
Something else, Brooks, is that I hate to hear people say this, man, that, what's the use of going to college because people that don't have degrees don't have jobs? And you know what? And I say that people say that because I remember years ago, man, our community say, go to college and get an education because the white man can't take that from you.
Yes.
And if a job came up, who do you think they're going to hire? They're going to hire the man that got the most education.
That's right.
So if a person don't have a job because they got a degree, that had nothing to do with the degree. It had something
That's
to
right.
do with him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So,
you know what I tell people? Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, because, see, because I fell short. I went to prison. I was on heroin, you know. And I dropped out in 12th grade, man. With these nuts, I dropped out and knew I was going to graduate. But I was into that thug life.
Yeah.
And I turned around. When I finally got myself together, I woke up, man, and I said, hey, I gotta get my education,
Right.
And I went back to night school, to Cadoza, night school.
Yeah.
All I needed was a couple of credits, graduated. Then I worked in NIH and found out that I could go to UDC free because they had a satellite college on campus.
Yeah.
And I took advantage of that, and then I got into a program there, and they transferred me and sent me to a mine university, and they paid for it.
Yeah, you know what I tell people? Well, what's the use of going to college? Getting a degree and going to college, what does it mean? You always got a better chance.
Yeah.
You always got a better chance. Of course, a lot of times it's who you know, but you got a better chance. And I tell people right now, like my granddaughter, she wants to be a nurse. I say, we're going to make sure you're an RN nurse. You don't have to go to college, but you got plumbers, electrician, you got computer tech. I say, a registered nurse. I say, but you got to have some kind of skill. You got to have something.
Right.
And Lonnie Pern told me some time ago. Yeah, Lonnie Pern told me some time ago, there's about 10 million jobs that ain't been created yet. They're going to have in the next 5 or 6 years.
Mm.
They ain't even created yet.
Mm.
So it's coming off the roof. But you got to have something. Like I tell the guys, they said, they drop out one of the jobs. I said, first thing, you got to get that GED. You got to get it.
Then,
I say, you can go to school. It's no excuse there. They got grants. They got some grants where you don't have to pay back.
Right.
You don't have an excuse. I was on, my mother was tough. My mother was poor. Hey, look, you can go to school. You can go anywhere you want to. You know what? I had a guy one time. He was stealing cars. He could steal cars. He was nothing but the truth. And I told him one day, I said, man, you need to be an electrician. He wound up being an electrician and working for the police department, schooling them in stealing cars. He wound up being an electrician. And guess what? He's making big money. He's about 50 years old now. Plumbers, you always need a plumber. Computer age is still in the infancy. People don't realize that.
Yeah. Right? Oh my goodness.
What y'all doing, dealing with American University and dealing with that type of thing, you gotta expose these kids to something different.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't. When you learn better, you do better.
You're right. Let me tell you something. It's like you went through something. Man, let me tell you something. I did a lot of dirt. When I was young, I played football. That kind of saved me, and I was scared of my father. But I did a lot of dirt. Some of the things I've done, I probably would just be getting out of jail. I just escaped it. But it ain't a thing like, I graduated from college. They said, well, you graduated, you did this and that. I did dirt on the right. I was just blessed, right? But let me tell you something. When I talk to everybody, even my cousin Kitty, we all been, everybody I know, our age, we all been through something. Back in the day, it was rough. Everybody was doing anything to survive.
Right. But that was part of the culture. My father was a number backer. He was a loan shark. Part of the culture.
Jim Shea. He's He's from Kittikitty on that side of the family. Jim Shea, mm-hmm. you know, the number writers, you know, hustlers. But
right.
one thing about it is, it was a situation where it's a certain amount of respect and nobody crossed the line, right?
Yeah.
People
yeah.
basically honest. Like, for instance, if you and I, now, you and I, we best friends, like you and Tyrone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, how many times you heard best friends killing each other, get high, kill each other? How many, if I had a girlfriend and you and I real close,
mm-hmm.
and we break up, she's not going to go with you.
Right. Right.
That was hands off.
Right.
That was just an unwritten code, right?
Yep. Sure.
But now, it, everybody just do what they want to do.
Right. Right.
And you know what my man said, Abu? He said, the transgender, they can go in the women's bathroom, but when they get locked up, they send them to a men's prison.
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
Figure that one out.
How about that? Yeah. Yeah.
And, in the federal, and they doing, working for the federal government, you know, making garments and stuff. For the federal government, when they get out, they can't get a federal government job.
Right. And that's something they work for the federal government. In prison,
you work for the federal government prison, but when you get out, you can't work for us no more.
They can't get a job. Wow.
Well, some things, I sit around and think about some things, you know.
Right.
And a lot of stuff is going over our head, and we don't understand it.
Right. Yep.
You know Wesley, right?
Huh?
The Eastern, James Wesley.
Oh, I thought that man James Wesley was in the military together.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. Wesley said he was saving for a ski trip, right? And he had,
mm-hmm.
and he went to the bank to get some money. And because he's going to take the money up to ski, $3,000. They broke in his car. They stole everything in his car. But you know why they didn't steal the money? He had the money in a book.
Had the money what? In a book?
He had the money in a book. Now, this is what I want to ask you. When the last time you heard of somebody break in a bookstore and steal some books? You ever heard somebody break in a car and steal some books?
Mm-mm. Oh.
Think about it. When the last time you heard somebody stole a book?
Yeah.
If you want to steal some books. You know what I mean? Well, look, how many people do you have in the organization now? I know you some come and go and stuff. I know you try to help my man Clink Scale. You try to help him.
Yeah. We got a lady that's been with us, man, since we started with DC Housing.
Yeah.
Miss Ron D. We have Dr. Pinky Austin, who works there part-time, you know, and then we got different people come in and volunteer.
Yeah.
And because, you know, see, that's the thing about it. We got an organization that has had a lot of success.
Yeah.
We came with no funding, we're doing. And people, like you said, people don't even come to us to ask us. You know, I heard that they was bringing the model. They were talking about bringing a model that worked in Chicago. I mean, that's in Chicago.
I've heard about that. That killed me.
And Chicago, their murder rate, I think the other day I saw it, but 41 people got shot.
8 died or something.
Something like that. And that model is not working. Damn. Why are you going to bring that model to D.C.?
Hey,
you know what I mean? Come on, man.
Hey, Rico. You 41 people got shot in Chicago, and they're going to bring that model to D.C.
Come on, man.
Hey, baby, something wrong with that picture.
Something wrong with that picture.
And I remember we had, at one time, we had 500 murders per the side of the city. That was big time.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we had we had our hands on the pulse of the community, and we had a program called, do you remember that program, Partnership for Success, where we was working with the police, they worked in the juvenile session, and organizations that was community minded, and see all of us was working, you know, all of us was working together, because it was you and my girl, y'all had to work with the Bridget, man.
Yeah.
And we were all working in concert.
That's right.
We knew
that's
all
right.
The youth. Because, see, it ain't all of you. It was just a few of them who was really treacherous. And we knew
that's
who
right.
they were. And so we had our hands and pulse on them. And they was able to stop a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You never, you know, when I say this, about, I look at Yango, he was there for a minute. But I look at, and I say this all the time, I look at Louis Cardona, I look at C-Spy, I look at the Lions Concernment, I even look at C. Sosa. I say, but you never hear anybody jumping on us or attacking us, because guess what?
Right.
Them youngers know that they don't jump on people that's trying to help them. They're not crazy.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And they see, when they see you coming, they say, oh, they try to help us. That can be the worst killer in the world. They know we try to help. And you know what? I always mention y'all name, and I always mention C-Spy, Don't Smoke the Brothers and Sisters. It's a few organizations, and you know what? I look at it, and the thing that hurts me to my heart, you know, when I call a list out of people that I know are going to make a difference, the list is real short.
Yeah, right. Right.
It's a short list.
Yep.
But you got a lot of people making a lot of comments.
And you know, you said, man, Louis Cardona was working up there in Columbia Heights, man, when he was a little kid, when he was young. He was a young kid, man. He was working up there, and because I had a close relationship with the principal at Bell.
Yeah. I did too. Mr. Keeble.
Yeah, man, come on. She used to bring. So she broke all the rules. She didn't have to go through the department to ask people to come in to help. She said, "Man, you can't even get in the schools now.
That's right.
You got to go through a whole lot of stuff to even get into schools."
You know, I had Raul was working up Bell, and they had a big thing going on. Man, it was a home invasion, and Tequila.
Yeah.
I didn't know she knew the group. She knew him. But for some reason, she came to me. I said, what she came to me for? She got you? And she really want to talk to you. She told me that it's going to be a war. It's going to be a killing. I want you to come in. And we came in, right? But I told her, she said, I want to bring this person. I said, no. If you want me to handle this, you can't bring nobody in but Louis Cardona.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I don't have a whole lot of people in the mediation.
Right.
I said, and brought him in, and you can tell the Spanish guys, when they get mad, they start mixing Spanish with English. I had the mothers in there, and to keep it translated and all that, and we resolved it. But I've dealt with the Hispanic guys, but I don't do nothing without Louis Cardona.
Yeah, Raul.
Yeah.
And you know something, there was another brother, man, who's on the police force, Sean, Big Sean. You see,
Sean,
good
my man.
Yeah, you know Sean.
Sean, Marcucci. That group
right.
with Monroe.
With
that's
Monroe,
guys, they talking about police officers. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Talking about police officers like a dog. There's some good police officers that really helped us, boy.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Sean got down.
It, like you said, man, it's a different culture in the way people are going out now, man. You know
what? I love Ramsey. You know what Ramsey said to me one time? Don't ask anybody about any murders. Don't ask them about who killed who.
Right.
Don't come to me, and they wouldn't ask me about. We know about a lot of people who got killed. They did, but I told them. I said my job is when people get killed. The ones that are left, my job is to prevent it from escalating. I don't get into that. I'm telling the police this, and I'm telling my job is to mediate and defuse a situation.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm through.
I was saying, you mentioned Ramsey. When we did the truce over at the Circle and the Avenue, we had, remember, we used to have the anniversaries over there every year.
Yeah, you're right.
And one year, the youth said they wanted Ramsey to be the guest speaker. He was the chief of police.
Yeah.
That's the kind of relationship between us and the community built with the police department.
That's right. That's right. And Commander Robinson, 7D, man. I even had Hoy, 6D, Conti, man. Guess what?
Yes.
I stopped that beef between Lincoln Ice and Clay Terrace. They was getting ready to go off, and the police, they're going to charge him with all kind of this and that. I said, charge him with disorderly conduct. I'm going to squash it, right?
Right.
You know, and the principals would listen. The principals would say, before we suspend them, you mediate and you tell us what you think the punishment should be. Man, that was a great time then, man.
Yeah.
Now you got principals out of town. You can't come in the building.
Yeah.
Dunbar and McKinley beefing, so they let one out at one time and one out at the other time. You ain't resolving anything.
Man, when I heard that, Brooks, man, I was like, how in the hell is that going to squash? In fact, the young people told me, if they recall what they do when they let them out early, they'll just go home and get their guns.
And guess what? There's so many people from out of town, new principals, they don't care about. And the thing about it is, they don't want to listen to nobody because you know what? They really don't care.
Right.
See, if they care, they want to resolve it, but they don't care because they're trying to run us out anyway. But that's a shame, man.
Yeah.
But look, we got to get ready to go, man. I appreciate you coming on because we got Lewis coming on. But Rico, man, I really respect you. I gotta get Tyrone on. I know Tyrone a little slow. That's my man. I love him though. He gonna say, "Oh, ain't no way in that. God is always good." He forgot
always,
again. But I'm glad you came through for me, Rico,
and
represented, man. I love you, man.
I just left Malik. We was at a wedding. We was at a wedding.
That was great. And I supposed to go back into recreation. I supposed to go back in June. Back over leader.
Okay. Good, man.
I'd be glad to be on the street.
That's one of the successes.
Yeah. People say, Brooks, you too old to be out there. Well, then I got my health and strength. The Lord has blessed me. So why not go out there?
That's right. There you go. My man.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, man.
Thank you so
love
much.
You, man. All right, bro.
You too.
Peace. Thank you.
Yes. That was great. Thank you so much. Well, we got your guy Lewis on right now, with you? Yeah.
Let me say this. Lewis Cardone, we just have to talk about him. You know, we mentioned names, but this boy is a bad dude. I mean, he done it all. I mean, like Tyrone, I mean, Rico said he done this and he been in trouble. I've been in trouble. I've done this. I just was blessed I didn't get locked up, but I've done a lot of dirt. But guess what? Straight up street soldiers. And when I had the gang task force and we were dealing with Hispanics, I'm not doing anything unless I call Lewis Cardona. This ain't about no, I can do this and I can do that. Because Lewis, not only he could deal with the Latinos, and he dealt with the blacks too. And he was out there. I mean, he straight up soldier. Degree, been in Marines, been in the streets. And he is one of the names I called by when I said it's only a few people I can depend on if I'm growing up in a dark place, you know, like Yango or you know, Al Malik, C Spy, you know, Lions Concerned Men, and Lewis Cardona. The list is real short. Welcome to the show, my man.
Oh, Brooks, thank you so much. I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you for acknowledging me that way. I'm always honored to be a part of anything you're doing. Thank you. This has been a journey of 20, going on 25 years of doing this work, and man, a lot of the shoulders of elders like my uncle Rico just went off, and you know, Malik, yeah. Yango, all these uncles of mine, right? So, yeah, it's been a great journey. It's been a great journey, you know?
Yeah. Well, tell us about your journey, how you got started, and tell us about your work. I mean, guess I want everybody to listen to this. This guy got a resume, a box. This guy got a resume that's deep. You want to hear something? You can hear about it.
Okay, man.
Tell us about the journey, man.
So I think, you know, most folks know, especially folks uptown knew, you know, a lot of the things I was into. I won't get into that now, but I kind of be talking about what I've been doing at least the last 11 years, ever since I came out to Montgomery County, where I'm at the Department of Health, and I'm overseeing our violence prevention intervention efforts here, where I've got a team of people that's doing the same work that I was doing back in D.C. So I'm blessed and fortunate to have a real great team that's working with me every day. And again, we're not just working with Latino kids. Just like you said, we're working with African-American kids, other young people. And, you know, I think one of the interesting things is that a lot of people kind of feel like, well, Montgomery County, well, the thing is that I think many of us have been in D.C. for a long time, know how gentrification and displacement has contributed to the move of many people of color, in particular people of color who are poor. So
that's right.
Coming out to the suburbs, and so, you know, they bring that mentality. But at the same time, these communities have their own little cultural mentality as well. So you got neighborhoods out here that have been around just as long as well. So, you know, we've kind of been, dealing with them, in particular, the young people coming at it from a more of a public health perspective, you know, focusing on how we can address the issue of trauma in particular, which I think is well ingrained in so many of our communities here in the DMV. And so that's kind of been of our approach, you know, utilizing culturally based methodology that encompasses the street culture, but really helps young people to really move beyond trauma. And I think quite, you know, so often, I was listening to you earlier, and you talk about, you know, this stuff out of Chicago. And I think, you know, one of the issues is that, you know, there's all these models out here, but none of them are talking about how do we begin to create healing space for these young brothers and sisters out here. Because I mean, we know they've been through a lot of trauma. You know what I mean? I mean, you and I grew up with that, you know, and we've just been fortunate. But, you know, many of these young people have just, you know, had a lot of, you know, really complex trauma and no space to deal with it. The schools don't want them to talk about it. The schools don't want to have spaces for them to talk about it. The people who are supposed to be doing the mental health work don't want to talk about it. They don't want to have the space. So, you know, who are they going to talk about?
Say that again. No, back up, say that again. About the mental health.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to create the space for these young people to cope with what they're going through, who else are they going to talk to? They ain't got nowhere else to talk to. You know? So, I mean, it's sad. And you know, and you know, this is just kind of me speaking, but it's really sad to kind of see, you know, I was listening to Uncle Rico and looking at, you know, the work that people like, you know, Pops, you know, Malik has been doing for years. And all these folks have been doing this work. And why are we still having conversations with the fact that they don't get any funding?
Right.
And
that's
meanwhile,
right.
These children keep dying every day. It's heartbreaking.
Day.
You know, my wife brought me out here to Montgomery County. So I left D.C., you know, several years ago. And I miss it, but it really breaks my heart.
We miss you too.
Often to kind of see, you know, just to kind of see how things are going. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? There's no excuse for that when you got all the resources in the terms of the people that you've been talking about on the show alone today, right? And so, that's got to change. You know, that's got to change. So, but no, Brooks, I really appreciate you, you know, having me on the show. Like I said, you know, this work for me has been my own healing process. And so I always tell people that serving the young people, serving these families, serving these communities is an honor to me. I mean, they give me so much more than I can ever give to them. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's a privilege to serve them and work with them or whatever, you know? And it's not, as you know, being an assistance person now at the Department of Health, it's not always the easiest thing because you kind of have to be a liaison with other systems, you know. But at the same time, you know, I think the most important thing is the just being able to acknowledge the fact that when you have the right people in the right positions, it does a lot of things to, you know, push those systems to really truly serve the communities.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, my experience in terms of not just here locally, but nationally or even internationally, is when you don't have the people that come from those communities and the decision-making processes about how programs are going to be funded, how, you know, what the approaches are going to be, who's going to be going to work.
Yeah.
Nothing real really happens.
Absolutely.
You know?
You're absolutely
don't
right.
Nothing real happens until the stuff continues and people get millions and millions of these dollars and you know, people, you know, children, our children still die.
Yep, nothing comes out.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, from my perspective, I mean, I probably will say I've done everything in my power to make sure that not just in terms of the programs I oversee, but the programs that I fund in Montgomery County, that they're really about trying to create opportunities, number one, where the young people are viewed as assets, regardless of what the trajectory has been, regardless of what their experiences have been, and kind of tell them, like what you said earlier, Brooks, like, yeah, you know, I've been through that too, and, you know, now's some time to move on, and here are some, you know, some tools that we can provide you with or support you so you can make better decisions, you know?
Yeah. You're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. And the thing that really, over the years, you know, working out, you know, working in D.C. along with you, you know, different organizations, the thing that really gets me is, not only you out there, but they don't want to give you the type of money you deserve. That's number one. Number two,
right.
When you sit down in a meeting with them, you got people that stand up that you don't know who they are. They always got advice and can give you some advice about what needs to be done, but they always behind the scenes. Then when you come back in the meeting and you say, well, look, this is what we need to do, it's going to work, they don't want to listen. They want to do their own thing. So, you know, I used to go to meetings, and sometimes they want to run me out of there. I said, let me tell y'all something. Y'all, nobody in here can tell me anything. The reason why you can't tell me anything, because I've been out there in the streets. It's like if you told me about Vietnam, you've been there. I haven't been there. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sit up there and tell you, well, I know about Vietnam. I've never been there. You've never been in the streets. You never approached. Because most of the adults are scared of kids, young people anyway. They're afraid of them. I'm not saying all of them. But that's why there's only a few working in the streets, because the rest of them are afraid, right? And the thing about it is, kids, they sense fear. As soon as they see you, they know if you weak or not. You don't even have to say anything. And there's so many kids killing each other, you know. And when I had the gang test, I prevented a lot of murders, my group. You prevented a lot of murders. Tyrone, ceasefire. I mean, we prevented a lot of murders, a lot of killing. We prevented a lot of stuff. If they think that it wasn't too much, if it wasn't for us, the murder rate would have been higher. But see, the thing about it is, they really just want to run us out of the city. So they don't really care. They don't want no youth gang class, whatever this. They don't want. And city change. I remember the principals. Takiva wasn't crazy about me, but she brought me in that time when they had that home invasion, and she told me she gonna bring in this person, bring that person. I told Takiva, I said, why you don't talk to Raul? She said, I want to talk to you. She never came to me like that. And I said, okay. She said, well, I want to bring this person. I said, no, I don't want any of them people. She said, well, why not? I said, look, you asked me to come in. The only person I want is Louis Cardone. I said, that's all I need.
Yeah.
I don't know these young people. I want him in there, you know?
Yeah, you know, the other day I was just thinking, Brooks, I recently talked to, you know, one of the homeboys that, you know, I won't mention the crew name, but.
Yeah, I know.
You know, who was making a lot of noise back in the 90s, and a lot of them cats, you know, they grown men now. They family men. They doing well.
Yeah.
You know, And they always talk about you and Raul, you know, and Bridget. They bring up the three.
I didn't even realize they knew about me.
Yeah,
I didn't know they
really
knew about me.
Yeah, that was funny.
I knew they knew Raul.
That was that big beef, remember, between them brothers and the folks from Southwest, man. I'll never forget that.
Oh, okay.
I think, just like you said, Brooks, I mean, that's – that's the reality. People just don't care. And then, you know, one of the saddest things to me, though, is when you see people that have come up like us and they forget. And they get in these positions, right? They get in these positions of power or authority, right? And they're like, well, I made it. You need to be able to do it on your own. You need to lift yourself off your own bootstraps as well. Not taking into consideration, each of us have a different journey. And some of us have the skill sets to navigate it, some of us don't.
Thank you.
You know? I mean, that's just kind of how it is. You know, my man, Tone, I mean, I'm sure you probably heard of, formerly known as King Tone, doing work in D.C. over at DYS. You know, he tells me all the time, man, like, I wish I got it as soon as Louis got it. In terms of figuring it out, it took me a little longer, you know? And that's everyone works differently. So he, you know, regardless, he's doing some incredible work with young people in detention right now. Yeah. And so people can say, well, you know, it took too long. Well, who cares? I mean, all of us got stuff with us. And at the end of the day is what do we do to make this a better world? You know, I've had four children. My youngest one's getting ready to turn two. My oldest is 18, out of his prom tonight. And, you know, I'm just saying, look, you know, with all the things that I did, all the crud that I did and it was a part of back in the day, whether it was in New York City or here in D.C., I got to at least leave this earth one day knowing that I did something to make it better,
I tell people that all the time.
You know, and I think that's a big part of it. It's like a lot of us, you know, unfortunately, and I'm not saying all of us, but some of us that kind of, you know, who kind of made it, you know, don't want to atone for things and take ownership of it because all of a sudden we're doing really good, we're doing grand, but, you know, it's like as long as I'm doing good, forget everyone else, but it can't be like that, you know?
Okay.
And that's the thing you were talking about earlier, that code. Our code back in the day wasn't like that. Everybody was looking out for one another. And we, you know, a lot of us have gotten that twisted, yo.
That's right. You know what? You said it right. Yeah, people, I made it, this and that. Well, guess what? You know, in this world, that's what we are here for, to help people with their journey. To sit back and say, well, I did it, so you go on about your business. And like me, I'm 67 years old. I'll be 68 December. Now, I work out like a big dog. I work at L.A. Fitness. I'm going back into the recreation department. I'm going back in the rover leaders. I'm going back in the street. Some people say, man, you retired and you're going to come back. What you going back in the street? You 67 years old. First of all, I'm blessed because I got my health and strength. A lot of people my age that play ball with me, a lot of my friends, my cousin just died. Hey, they 67 years old. They can't go out in the streets. Their body is broke. And I've had 7 operations in football, but I work out. And excuse me. And the thing about it is, people say, "What you going out in the street for?" See, you missing the point. The point is, I'm going out to try to help some young people. What do I say? Well, since I did everything I was supposed to do, and I've helped a lot of people, so I need to just sit back and relax. Well, why do I need to do that if I got my health and strength and doing something that I like? I don't mind going up in the neighbors at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, dealing with a situation. And I've heard, lady told me one time, and I don't want to cut you off. Lady told me one time, we're in a meeting. I believe in the Lord walk with me, the Lord. Every 5 minutes, every 2 minutes, every 30 seconds, it was the Lord this and the Lord that. And I said, well, okay, we got a situation up in your neighborhood. Let's go and knock on some doors. I'm not going up there at night and get killed. I said, but you said the Lord walk with you. I guess the Lord don't walk with me. We need to go up there and do something. I'm not going up there. But stop telling me about the Lord this and Lord that. Because guess what? You know what? When I go up in there in them neighborhoods, you know what? And I have never been shot or threatened. The Lord has blessed me. See?
Yeah, man. No, that's on point. And you know that's what I try to explain to folks often. Is like, look, you know, who's tell me, oh, you don't want nothing. I say, oh, wait a minute, you know. The Creator's been really good to me. I mean, you know my story, Brooks. You know I was laid out in the Southeast over 24 years ago, about to die in a coma, being all shot up and all that. Yo, so, you know, part of me giving back is because I know I've had this second chance on life, you know. And that's what
I tell
a lot of youngsters all the time is, like, if I knew when I was 16, you know, 17, you know, 15 years old, what I know now, that I was going to even live this long, you know, live in my family, live in a community where I ain't got to worry about who's coming up behind my back, people trying to kill me, you know what I'm saying? I think I would have lived my life much differently. You know, but you know
too.
How it is. You live in your life day by day. You know what was coming next. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's what's important for us is, you know, how do we help so many of our young brothers and sisters out there to you know, have that vision to look forward. I mean, nothing is given for sure. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow
that's right.
I might not wake up, you know. But at a minimum, at least, you know, to dream and to have aspirations and to have hope for a future so that the cycles of violence can end with us. I mean, that's my intent. That's why I tell young people often, I'm doing this because I contributed to all this nonsense. The least I can do is try to be a part of the solution. And, you know, and I've been fortunate enough to have people like you, especially our elders, to kind of guide me in that direction. So, you know,
hey, wait a minute, Lewis. Don't be saying that. They gonna people think I'm old now. Don't do that. I've got
no, but you. What I'm saying is, you know, I'm just a reflection of what many of you, all of you elders have done, you know, for me and guided me. And so, you know, I tell them, I say, look, I didn't do this on my own. You know, first of all, you know, I have Creator, you know, guided me, but then I've been blessed to have all these, you know, men in my life who at times have played a paternal role in my life, you know, having grown up without that father figure, right? And so I've been blessed to have that, you know. So I think, you know, that's part of what I try to do with many of the young people, you know, that we serve and work with. But I ain't going to lie, bro. So I do miss working in D.C. I mean, every now and then I come around, you know, I go down to my own stomping ground up on Kennedy Street and catch up with some of my old friends, but you know, things have changed a lot.
Yeah, I know. You don't mention the name, but I've dealt with them. You know, I remember Raul come back to the office with Brown Union and La Rosa and all. And I mean, we did a mediation at elementary school, the first time with two sisters, right? I ain't gonna call the name.
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, and
you know, the older sister's doing really good now. You know, the younger one, unfortunately, she passed away. She had some, some health issues.
Oh,
her
oh
older sister's doing really good.
Yeah.
She's doing really good in her life now.
Yeah. You know what? And you know what? I going up there and Raul, it's there's only six of us. And one thing I like about Raul, he got that respect up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the more he come back, he keep coming to Lewis and this and that. And when I start with people, even I had a thing with a reporter, Mark Fisher did a story. When I talk about
people,
I talk about you, I talk about Rico and that crew, I talk about C Spy, I ain't talking about C Social. You know, and the police, Monroe, you know, we talk about Monroe and Robinson. Man, they talk about the police. Man, we've had some good police officers we work with. Big Sean and them. I mean, we've had some good police officers.
Yeah, my man Sean. Yeah, I just saw him about 6 months ago. Yeah,
yeah,
that whole specialized unit under former Assistant Chief Ronnie Monroe. That's right. Some good people. My man Kenny Casey, Hammer.
Yeah.
All them cats. Yeah.
Hey.
No, you know,
hey, they good
and I think, you know, And I'm glad you touched on that piece, man, because, you know, when I remember having a conversation with, you know, with Pops, with Abdul Furkan, and it was the second time I'm turning to him and I'm saying, hey, Pops, they offered me this gig out here in Montgomery County, but I don't know, man. You know what? I'm going to have to work. I'm not going to be snitching, but I got to sit at the table with the state's attorney's office, with the police department, with all these other systems. I don't know, Pops. And, you know, he said the same thing to me when Betty Jo Gaines and Marion Barry gave me that job as a Roman leader, right?
Yes.
He said, Louis, if it ain't you, they're going to get some other joker, and he ain't gonna have to say, he or she ain't going to have the same commitment.
That make a lot of sense, don't it?
You know what I'm saying? So I took the time, and you know what? I was reluctant. I remember in the interview, I said, man, I don't know. I you know, I work with police. I train officers and all this other stuff. And all this, I'm gonna be such And sure enough, man, it's been good because through those relationships I developed with some of them officers in D.C., it really helped me out to come here.
Yeah.
And the folks out here, they respect, you know, they really respect where you come from, especially as a practitioner, as an intervention specialist. They understand
yeah.
that you can do some things they can't do, and they can't compromise that whole thing. Like, well, you got to snitch and all that. No, they understand that's not your role. That's a detective's role, is to get that.
Yeah.
So our role is to figure out how do we bring peace to this community and bring some level of sanity to a very, you know, messed up, crazy situation, right? And so
right.
I've been fortunate 11 years to working here to have that. I mean, I wish we could have some more officers like Sean and Hamlin and Casey and all
yeah.
of them, but, you know, I got some good ones out here, and I'm blessed.
Yeah, but you know what?
And I
you
think
know what?
People...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I was just going to say, I think, you know, it's really hard because, you know, I mean, I followed a lot of the sad stuff that's happened, I mean, which is real, whether it's Freddie Gray, you know, Martin, all these things, real. I mean, we know that. But,
yeah.
the thing is, you know, we got to also understand, too, that, you know, it's got to be a balance. We got to hold our law enforcement accountable, but we got to ourselves hold each other accountable, too, because...
That's right. That's right.
If you talk to
that's
most
right.
of the average police officer, most of them will tell you the reason I went into this work is because I wanted to make a change, not because
yeah.
I wanted to shoot somebody in cold blood, right?
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
of them, that's what they'll tell you. And most of you know, I had my run-ins when I was doing the wrong thing. I'm having run-ins when I was doing the right thing.
Yeah,
but regardless,
absolutely.
You know, I think we understand the importance of having law enforcement here. And I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm just calling it for what it is. You know.
Yeah.
And I think
but, you
know, if we just keep pointing the finger at them, it just makes
that,
you know it makes the situation more complex.
You know
what I'm saying?
I'm glad you said that. You know, first of all, you know one of the biggest thrills I had when I was working in the UK Task Force when the police called me and say, "Brooks, deal with this situation. We don't want to deal with it. If you could deal with it and take care of it, and then that's gonna make our job easy." That's they come to me, and that's really good because they're telling me, say, look, we don't want to lock them up, we don't want this, but you go and take care of this situation. Or they call us and look, Brooks, it's gonna turn into a war. Yeah, we can go and start locking people up. So, hey, go take care of it. You see, you got a few police officers that are bad, like in any kind of organization in this country, but you got a lot of good police officers. That's why when I hear people talk about, oh, the police ain't nothing. Man, see, I personally have worked with a lot of good police officers. I worked with some police officers who didn't like me personally, but got to the point where they respected me and depended on me, and that's all I asked for, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we got to be accountable, just like you said, you know, as people, you know, because we all are color, you and I, we people of color, we got to stop making excuses and go and do the right thing. They know they're building prisons, trying to put us in there. Well, don't try to go to prison. Go to school. You know, you can't keep using that I'm poor and my mother don't have any food and all that, you know, because guess what? They're running us out of the city.
Yeah.
We're sad.
I was reading that article in the Post the other day about how, you know, within the next couple of years or already, we got more and more homeless families, and they mostly all, you know, poor, low-income black families. And it's like, what's going to happen to them? Where are they going to go? You know?
Yeah.
And so these kids will continue to struggle. I mean, and these cycles will just continue to repeat themselves. And come on, with all this prosperity is going on in D.C. right now and renewal and development, I'm having a hard time understanding that. Like, How can this be happening? And how can
there
not be more outrage? You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Because
how
guess
can
what?
There not be more outrage?
Because they really don't want outreach. Because let me tell you something. You know what I found a long time ago? When you see guys killing each other, you see murder, the first thing I'm doing is when I was out here, look, I want to prevent more murders. I want to do this. I mean, I'd be out at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning trying to deal with a situation because I really wanted to make a difference, right? But then you got some people saying, well, that's all right if they're killing each other. It don't make no difference. So what? It don't make a difference. Just move them out, wipe them out. And I keep telling them youngers, stop talking about I'm representing. It's my neighborhood. They close down these neighborhoods. Because you don't own anything, right? And that's what they want. But I'm the type of person, I'm going to continue to try to save somebody's life or try to stop a situation. And I hate it when somebody tell me I'm too old to do it. What does age got to do with it?
Yeah. Nah, look, you know, at the end of the day, all that matters with these young people is what's in your heart. That's it. You know, whether you came from that lifestyle or not, if your heart is in the right place and you're trying to help them out, you know, bro, they always going to respond in the right way.
You're right. You're absolutely right, man. It's just amazing, man. And the work you've done, man, you know, I always talk about you. I always talk about you, man. Because back in the day, you know, it was a lot of problems going on. Bob, let me tell you something. Hey, Bob, I don't know if you know this. I remember one time there was situations up Lincoln, guys from Clifton Terrace were fighting Hispanic guys, and they usually get along, but they got in a big fight. And the dudes from Clifton Terrace went up to 16th Street. Said, we're going to go up to 16th Street after school. There must have been about 40 of them. When they got up across 16th Street, there must have been 200 Hispanics. You remember that? Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yep.
They turned around and walked back.
Yeah. No.
You think
I mean,
you got
a little
proof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, man, both our communities has just been always just kind of, you know, just struggling just to make it and to survive. You know,
that's right.
And now, you know, we've got this really interesting dynamic that's been emerging probably, you know, more over the last 5 to 10 years with the migration of Central American kids that's coming up lately who are escaping persecution in their own country. And it's not just the gangs. It's corrupt police officers down there, corrupt government officials. I mean, you got the government down there in those countries, you know, they doing social cleansing. They wipe these kids out. So, of course, these kids are going to come here.
Yeah, I see you talking about it on Facebook, social media. I see you talking about it.
They're going to come here. You know, about 3 years ago, I had the privilege of being asked by a lot of the homeboys that I knew here. They got deported down there. You know, they had this truce going on between MS-13 and 18th Street. I went down there, took a delegation, about 11 people with me, and had a real good winning. I mean, went into some prisons down there, Brooks, that a dog in the United States wouldn't. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
But yet, you know, the level of respect, I mean, and just the in-depth conversations about their commitment to just putting it into this thing. But at the end of the day, the government didn't want that.
That's
the
right.
The government did not want peace because too many people benefited from the bloodshed.
Thank you. Thank you. Were they building prisons? Man, they built a prison for a reason. You know, I told Rico, you know, you go to federal prison, you work, you do work, you make garments, you do certain things. You're working for the federal government. Then when you get out, you can't get a job in the federal government because you got a felony, you know.
Yeah.
And then they talk about the transgender. They can go in the bathrooms now. And I'm not going to get into who's right and wrong. They can go in the bathroom now, but when they get locked up, they go to a male prison. There's something wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a woman on the outside, but when you get locked up, you go with the men.
Right. Well, you know,
that's kind of confusing.
That business of that warehousing black and brown men and women, then, I mean, people getting paid off of that, and they want to continue to keep it that way.
It's about money.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
No. And you know what? Those realities are important for me because, you know, like the other day I was in a meeting with some community folks and they asked me, so how do you measure success for what you do? And I was like, yeah, I got this data here about, you know, how I measure success. But at the end of the day, I pay more attention to where I fail. And they're like, how do you know where you fail? Is it a murder? Nah, it's not even a murder, you know? It's when I go and visit the jails and the prisons and talk to the young brothers in there. And these are the young people that I connected with out here, but they still were not able to make the right decision in the here. And so that's where I reflect, and I ask myself, what could I have done differently for them not to end up in this situation? You know? And so every time you see one of our young black and brown young men or women in those situations, you can't help. I mean, if you really about this work and you really love the people like you say you're supposed to, or like you say you do, of course, that's what you're thinking about, you know?
You know what has helped me a lot dealing with young people, dealing with guys in jail? Because, you know, I went down Oak Hill, and I talked to a lot of guys. But you know what really helped me? I never looked down on none of them guys. I never looked down on them, because I look at them as I'm one of y'all. I just didn't get caught. You see,
right.
When you look at it like that,
he was a small one.
I'm just one of y'all. I never got caught. I know a lot of people. They talk to people incarcerated, and they got to think I'm looking down at them, you know. And I never took that approach. You know, I never took that approach. And I always try to be honest and fair with them. I don't, you know, the mediations we had, I never take sides, you know. I never bring the police in on mediation. It's private. It's between us. You know, if it's going to be a conference, you bring everybody in. If it's a mediation, it's two groups and a third partial medium in there. And, you know, that's the way I look at it, right? And I never blame people. One thing about it, they're going to talk and they're going to tell you. And they're going to tell you the truth, what really happened.
Yeah.
There's so many people, man. I've had a lot of, I want to go in there with you. I don't want them in there with me, with young kids, because they try to take over.
Well, you know, folks, you touch on something that's really important, though, humility. And people that know me know, you know, regardless of what my past was or who I was and what credibility I may have, I don't care whether it's some youngsters to the parents of the young people to the brothers and sisters behind the bars. Wherever I come up and have something to say or speak, I always ask for permission. Always ask for permission.
Thank you.
That's how you start things right. That's humility. And people,
that's right.
People respect that. Brothers in the street, they respect that. You know, and that's one of the most important lessons that we've got to work on teaching our young brothers that. Is the humility is not a sign of weakness at all. You know, but unfortunately, they've gotten it really twisted, and they see humility as like, oh, nah. You weak, soft.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with that. You know, it's about, you know, making sure that you do exactly what you said, that I'm no better than you are just because I have this title, name, degree, whatever. You know, I could be in the same situation. Just like you said,
ability
is really missing. And you know what? We can't blame the young people for that, because really that's something that the adults have been teaching them. Because
well,
the adults haven't
they
been wrong
with that. They weren't born there. They got it from somewhere.
Yeah.
Adults. You know what I always tell people? We don't have at-risk kids. We got at-risk adults. And I tell people, they say, well, how do you get along with them guys? I say the best way to get to know a troublemaker, a killer, a murderer, a sticker man, the best way to get to know them is when they're not in trouble.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah.
You don't wait till they get in trouble and you try to step to them. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah,
I've always said that, and I noticed. You know, I had Yango on, I had Al Malik, I had you on, I had Rico. You know, all of us talk the same, and we don't really disagree on anything, because it's an unwritten code the way we deal with it. We don't look at each other and say, "Man, I wouldn't do that, man, Lewis. I don't think that'd work."
Right.
We all it's the same way. Like we had that big mediation that time. With that home invasion, you know, that was going to be ugly, right?
Yeah.
The thing about it is, everybody was on the same page, right? And things worked out fine. It could have been ugly. It's a situation where we got to make sure we push the right button. Because we go in there, you don't know what you're doing. That whole thing can explode.
Yeah. And you doubt. I mean, and again, and that's just, you hit it earlier, right?
Yeah.
I've seen situations folks come in, and I'm gonna make this thing go away. You know, I'm gonna control the situation. We can't control nothing. All we can do is help manage situations with young people. Our role is to help guide them to make the decisions, but they have to take ownership of that. And we have to make sure that whatever we do, that we create that space for them to do that. Because
right.
I tell folks all the time, they got, you know, the street has their protocol. You know, they get together
right.
all the time, and they sit at the table, they plan things out. And you know what, at the end of the day, and Malik will tell you this, and all of them will tell you this, at the end of the day, having funding or not is not going to dictate what their actions are going to be. They won't make
Absolutely.
It happen no matter what. So we got to, you know, with it 100 with the same level of consistency. We can't come in there, I'm gonna help you out with these 10 sessions here, but after the 10 sessions, I can't do anything no more because funding doesn't allow me to. And that's the politics of these funding games.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the politics of these funding games, right? It makes no sense, but then again, it's clear about what the intent is.
You're right, man. You're right. Well, look, man, we got to get ready to go. Pay the bills. We got to get ready to sign off. But, man,
yeah,
I appreciate
you.
We're going to have you back on. You know, we're going to do a round table. Block was talking. We're going to do a round table. We're going to have some football players, and then we're going to have a thing with community people. And the next time we talk, we're going
to
talk about baseball.
Today,
we're going to talk about baseball,
yeah.
too. Huh?
All right, we'll talk some football. Hey, real quick, before I go, Brooks, we go to my young mother, Trayon White out of the South Side. Good luck, brother. I got my vote.
Oh, yeah, okay. Little Trayon, that's my bad.
All right, man.
Hey, let me say this. Guess who's going to be on the show next week? My girl, Bridget Miller, used to work with me. She's going to be on the show next week.
Oh, okay. Tell Bridget I say what's up.
Okay, but
all right,
bro, I appreciate
thank
you,
you
man.
So much. I'm really
I love
honored.
You.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Love you too, brother.
Oh.
Peace.
Okay, take it easy.
Man, that was a great man.
He's a heavy guy, man. He didn't get into his history, but he was rough back out in the streets. But he was a good dude, though, man.
Yeah, I like what he's doing, man. He's in Montgomery County now, so he's making that happen.
They got their share problems because, you know, MS-13 is up there.
Oh, yeah. And it's not a game.
They're deep. Langley Park, all of them going up Langley Park, it's deep. So, I mean, he got his hands full, man. But I'm telling you something, he's a straight-up soldier. You know, I'm going to tell you what hurts me more than anything, Bach, and then we're going to I'm going to sign out because you got to close out. But you know what hurt me more than anything? That I can't call more people on this show that have done a lot of stuff in the street because there's just not a whole lot of people.
Right.
As big as this city is, it's only a handful of people that really try to make a difference. The rest of them, they're not going out there. All they want to do is sit back and try to make decisions. But they don't want to even they don't even want to ride with you out there to see what it's like. You know.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's how it is, though. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, and we all been through something. You've been through stuff. I've been through. Like, I look at people and say, I ain't never get in trouble. Come on. I mean, unless you were sitting on the front porch with a lollipop in your mouth, we was out in the street. We all did our dirt. Am I right?
Right. That's true.
All did our dirt. But we overcome. You know, that's what it is about overcoming.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And it's taking that next step in your life and your journey.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not there for no reason.
Lewis is a great guy, man. I'm telling you, he's a great guy. Them guys, man, I respect them guys so much, man. It's unbelievable. Hey, Bach, it's a hell of a thing when you in the streets and you dealing with guys that will kill you in a minute and you go in the situation. And you got them kind of guys, not so much they worried about somebody shooting you or got your back, but when you walk up to them youngers, you know that if I say something, he say something, nobody's going to say anything stupid to get somebody killed, you know.
Right.
We all know what to say, you know. We can be in a situation and look at each other, you know. Next week, we're going to have Bridget Miller. She used to be with the youth gang. Used to be with me with the youth gang Casper. Bridget Miller gonna tell you about murder, shooting, stabbing. She gonna tell you about we went to 150 funerals. She gonna tell you about who got killed where, and she going and a lot of the mediations and a lot of stuff that we resolved. That's gonna be a big show next week.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for it. I'm ready.
So let me say this: thank my friend, best friend, my buddy, my family, my granddaughter, my two daughters, and my daughter, my oldest daughter. She dodged a bullet, and I want to say rest in peace to my cousin, Kenny Newsom. I love him so much. I'm gonna miss him. And
oh yeah, rest in peace, big homie.
Yeah, and he's well known all over Washington too, Bach. Baseball player Cardoza. Oh man, he's one of the greatest baseball players ever at Cardoza High School.
Wow.
Yeah. So. But.
Wow, that's amazing.
Great show, man. Great show, Bach.
Yeah,
you're the
amazing
best,
show. You making it happen, man. I appreciate you, everything you're doing, man. I just want to give a shout out to my family too. Give a shout out, Big Dave out there, man. We're gonna do this. We're gonna keep it coming, man. Brooks got these shows lined up for us, man. He bringing the power. You hear me? Bringing the power. So just keep doing what you're doing, Brooks. Really appreciate you. And we'll be back at it again next Saturday, 7:30 to 9:30. We're making it happen.
Let me say this: Big Mike won yesterday. Big Mike.
Oh yeah,
go to
Big
show.
Mike!
Show.
Big Mike.
Congratulations, Big Mike!
Yes, sir. We see you out there.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Good night, everybody. Have a blessed night. I'm glad everybody listened to the show. Bach, man, I appreciate everything. You the producer. You the man. Bach Roundtree, the man.
I'm out here. I'm working. Appreciate you, bro. All right, Bach.
See y'all around like a donut. Talk to you.
See you around like a donut. Later.
Talk to you.